see Zendaya like you've never seen her before.
From visionary filmmaker Luca Guadagnino comes Challengers, where Zendaya stars as Tashi Duncan, a former tennis prodigy who makes no apologies for her game on and off the court.
For more than a decade, she has had former best friends Patrick and Art, played by Josh O'Connor and Mike Feist, under her spell.
It's Tashi's game and Tashi's rules.
See Challengers now playing only in theaters. Get tickets now at challengersmovie.com. Are you tired of not being able to get a hold of anyone when you have questions about your credit card?
Well, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night.
Yes, you heard that right. You can talk to a human on the Discover customer service team anytime.
So the next time you have a question about your credit card, call 1-800-DISCOVER to get the service you deserve.
Limitations apply.
See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Hannah Ann is the only of the three to have posted on Instagram since this happened. And she posted a photo of herself saying, "Flying solo, no turbulence accepted, period."
Oh,
so
yes.
Good. So good. You get that, Hannah Ann.
You, Hannah Ann.
Welcome to Here to Make Friends, a HuffPost podcast about the Bachelor franchise, where we lovingly snark on The Bachelor and Bachelor adjacent shows.
Whether you love The Bachelor or love to hate it, we're here to break down every delicious moment with you.
I'm Emma Gray.
And I'm Lee Blickley. Emma, I'm speechless.
There are no words for what happened last night, Lee.
This is going to be a difficult recap only because there's so much to discuss.
I'm truly shaken by Barb.
Hannah Ann, left it all on the floor. Barb was out for blood. Madison was all about just being herself, spilling her truth.
She held her own. I don't even know.
I need a very strong cocktail after this and maybe a very iced donut.
Do cocktails and donuts ward off coronavirus?
Yes, I think so.
that's the medical information you need from this show. We have brought our wonderful friend of the pod, Charlene Joint.
Thanks, Emma.
On today.
Thanks,
oh my God.
Good to be here.
You braved the subway during coronavirus.
Yeah.
This is, we brave a pandemic for the things that matter.
Absolutely.
And those
things
include Barb.
Yes. Yes. And any Bachelor finale, let's be honest.
True.
This is important business.
Yeah, this was quite the finale.
Yes.
After a lackluster season, I was just kind of looking forward to seeing how this ended.
Yeah.
But the way it exploded in our faces.
At the kind of the last second, too.
Yeah.
It sort of, I would say some of the best stuff to happen in the last 10 minutes.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man. Okay, so let's get into it. You know, Chris is really teeing us up about how Peter's journey is about to come to an emotional end, the most intense ever. Honestly, he was correct.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That was actually wild. I don't know if it was historic, like he said.
But even at that point, though, he didn't know,
how Barb was coming out.
He didn't even know about Barb.
He didn't know, but he was prescient. We learn that Kelly is at the live finale. So is Neil Lane. Neither of them had a job to do.
It was just look who's here.
I almost felt like they had Kelly there just because they allegedly didn't invite her to Women Tell All.
Yeah. I think it was that. And then also there were a few rumors swirling around that were clearly unfounded about how he left both of them for Kelly. So I wonder if they were sort
really?
Of playing,
oh, I didn't
with,
hear that.
Playing with people who spend a lot of time on the Bachelor subreddit.
Yeah, they could have been. Maybe that's why they didn't invite her to the Woman Tell All in the first place.
No, I think they just don't like her that much.
Yeah, I kind of feel like they just didn't like her. And then they were, okay, I didn't know about the subreddit stuff. That's very interesting.
But Reddit's a dangerous place.
It just felt so weird. He's like, Kelly's here.
Yeah.
And
she's
like,
and then that's it. That's all we saw.
We head back to Alice Springs, Australia, because they are still there.
Yes, they are.
Believe it or not.
Yeah. And Peter's going on a run. He looks very gangly. I was like, is this proper jogging form?
He's out of sorts.
Yeah. He's still sad that Maddie left, but he believes true love will always rise above all and that things happen for a reason. And you can just tell it's like he's going through this run and he's talking himself into proposing to Hannah Ann, like every step he takes.
What struck me about the beginning of last night's episode was how they just acted like part one never happened.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, well, you know, this thing that we spent 2 hours obsessing over and, you know, showing his tears over. Well, now he's ready to propose to someone. It was just like, it was going too far in the opposite direction, especially considering Madison obviously wasn't.
Right,
you know,
we knew
out of the
that
picture.
That had been said by Chris, and so it was clear that
no
this was.
There's no subtlety anymore on this show. No. I just feel like it's like the pendulum swings in the opposite direction. It's like, oh, he's in love with Hannah Ann now, and then, and just so it can swing all the way back to Madison.
And this is why I'm excited that we're going to get a 38-year-old, because I actually think that's going to potentially temper some of this.
Yeah, could change it. Hopefully.
Yeah. Hopefully. I have high hopes for Claire.
Yeah, me too.
But yeah, Pete says Maddie is gone, but now he's starting to realize he found his person, and that's Hannah Ann.
And it's Hannah Ann. So
and he's going to go meet Neil Lane, and he's going to pick out a ring.
A pear-shaped ring.
I'm not dissing pear-shaped rings. I shouldn't say that.
I know.
But I just like to see the selection, and I feel like that hasn't happened for a few years.
No, there was just like, this is your option.
Yeah.
And it looked similar to other ones we've seen. I actually don't dislike pear-shaped rings when they're on fingers, but I think Sex and the City truly put a bad taste on pear-shaped rings into my head when I was a teenager, and I just like have that gut feeling.
100%.
The best thing about this is that I'm hiding my pear-shaped ring under the desk.
But the story
of this is so funny because I told all my friends, tell Will I want everything but a pear-shaped ring.
No way.
Yes, but what happened was his mom gave him her ring that his dad had given her.
Oh, I mean,
so he
heirloom.
Reset it for me.
Right.
So then I'm like, it's beautiful. I love it.
Yeah, you
but
can't.
Yes.
I mean, that's honestly
because I used
this
to. I
story
did agree
is
with
worth
that.
More than you
exactly.
having the shape of diamond.
But I can't sit here and be like, pear shaped rings suck.
No, I don't actually think they suck. That's the weird thing. It's like some.
But
it is Carrie Bradshaw.
I relate to you because
me.
I am the generation that grew up with Sex in the
City.
And I mean,
yeah, we all are.
Even though my ring is, I'm not wearing it today, but my ring is yellow gold. But even that, I was like, is that a bad idea? Because
right,
Carrie
said it, yellow gold and a pear-shaped diamond is not acceptable.
That's how we grow.
It's really just
we've come to accept it, but The Bachelor has come to accept pear-shaped rings
anyway,
on everyone.
My only beef is not with the pear. It's the fact that in the past, we would get like 6 to 10 rings, and it would be this. I am not ashamed to admit I would look forward to this scene and see all the sparkly rings and see what he chose. And in this case, it just felt like there was nothing to pick from.
I also felt like the lack of care was indicative, perhaps, of he's just like barreling ahead, like, this ring will do.
Yeah, that looks good. Yeah.
Looks good.
Let me kiss it. And
I definitely love this ring as much as I love Hannah Ann.
I heard.
Truly.
I was listening to Rachel and Becca's podcast, and apparently he was like kissing the ring. There's like clips of him, like how excited he was. And I don't know if this was like a behind the scenes clip that they had.
Yeah, I missed that.
But I was like, kissing the ring? What kind of guy? Like, that just makes it all even worse.
It feels over the top.
Yeah. It feels a lot like Barb, which he's Barb's son.
Oh, Jesus. So, you know, Peter FaceTimes with Hannah Ann's dad, and both of her parents give Peter their blessing to ask Hannah Ann to marry him, which I guess he did not get during the hometown, which normally would be a plot point, but because this whole engagement is invalidated, they don't play that up at all.
they're rushing through it. They don't care.
And Pete goes, let's go. Woo! Woo! Let's go! Woo!
That's his favorite thing to do. Let's go! Woo!
Pete's like pumping himself
done that a
up.
Few times.
He has. He's pumping himself up, and Hannah Ann is like defeated. Because Hannah Ann still doesn't know that Madison has left.
Yeah. Hannah Ann's like lying on a bed, like, I don't know what I'm doing.
Well, I think she had a gut feeling that he had stronger feelings for Madison and that this wasn't going to go the way she wanted.
I saw this totally different. I saw this differently, actually, because I felt like the majority of Hannah Ann's misgivings on the day of the proposal were voiceovers. And a lot of them sounded like repeats from her final date with him on Monday night. I don't know. Yes, she did lay on the bed, but
Do you think they were just screwing with him?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I wrote that in my recap this morning. I felt like there was it felt like completely unnecessary. Unless you know Hannah Ann's not coming to the proposal, to be like, I'm not positive she's coming.
Yeah, she might.
That's true.
Yeah,
that's true.
It did feel like they were trying to rattle him.
Yeah, and of course they did, and they used that footage of him being like, I'm going to pass out. They used that in every preview all season long.
Mm-hmm. They did get what they wanted.
Yes, yep. It worked.
And annoyingly. It also did then, at like, as a viewer that... You know, I think if I watch this again, I would be more discerning. But it read to me as like, oh, well, we know where this is going. So clearly Hannah Ann is intuiting something.
Okay.
And so I think it worked in,
I
think
mean,
it
I like
worked
that just
narratively.
As much.
It worked yeah, narratively yeah. in that way, even yeah. if it was just them screwing with him,
screwing
which I completely
them.
Believe. Mm-hmm. So then she does arrive.
I mean, here I don't want to dwell on that any longer, but I do feel like, yes, she probably did have some niggling feeling, but I don't think it was ever at the point where she's like, I can't go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like
she's
been totally steadfast the entire time. It just yeah. didn't really add up.
It's in
fact, she's been contorting herself and making herself miserable in order to
yes.
be as agreeable
yes.
as possible.
Yeah, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Giving and giving and giving.
What did you both in return?
What did you both think about her like bridal gown look?
It was very bridal.
It was very bridal. I mean, she looked beautiful. I felt neither here nor there about it.
Honestly, most of the style this season has been underwhelming to me.
Yeah, except for your favorite reformation.
Victoria's had some good reformation.
Okay, Victoria F. Had good style, but I got to say, Alea, it's tragic she went home as early as she did. She had great style.
She did.
There were a few great jumpsuits that did not get the credit they deserved.
Madison?
A few of the women in general.
But Madison did have that. I just remember that like sequency airplane hangar jumpsuit.
Yes.
Yeah.
Very pretty.
So Hannah Ann arrives. She steps out of the car. It's all very anticlimactic. And I thought the real indignity after she formally addresses Chris Harrison as Chris Harrison.
Yeah. She's like, hi, Chris Harrison.
With no irony whatsoever.
No, I
unless
loved
she's
it.
Just that dry, in which case I love her even more. But
I don't
it was,
think
she was
so.
Like, hi, Chris
yeah,
Harrison.
I think it was very earnest. Yeah. She's just like, Chris is a man with two names. Yeah, and you
she
say
also
them.
Was. Wasn't she the one who started Finasco in the first place?
She was.
Oh, yes.
It all relates.
It all comes first. It was truly a Finasco last
really
night.
Was.
It was a Finasco. She hugs Chris Harrison, and then she is forced to walk down this winding path yeah. in the brush down rickety steps in high heels.
It's awful.
Yeah.
The indignity.
In a floor-grazing silk white gown.
Yeah.
Too. Yeah, yeah.
After, like, contemplating, or we're thinking she's contemplating yeah. whether to even show up.
Yeah.
If I had to do that, I'd be like, see, this is why I shouldn't have showed up. But
it
she does.
It looks
she
particularly
makes it.
Treacherous. I wasn't envious.
It was same. I also do think, to your point, Charlene, them sort of making him so worried that he was going to be left by both women,
mm-hmm.
it did sort of create the overwhelmingly positive emotional response I think they wanted him
yes.
to give to Hannah
Ann.
It
made him appreciate her more
right.
in that moment.
In that moment. And so he's so relieved. He basically almost bursts into tears when he sees her.
Yeah.
He says, you look so beautiful. You have no idea how gorgeous you looked walking down those stairs. And he's like tearing up as he begins to propose to her.
Mm-hmm.
And
I just went blank here. I'm gonna be honest. I was just like, no, this is not right. Like, I'm not into it. So what did he say? Tell me.
He says, I've cherished every single moment I've been able to spend with you. I know I told you that I was falling for you, and I told you that my heart was being torn in two different directions, and now I have to follow my heart. So, Madison, she actually left 2 days ago. Hannah Ann, your beautiful spirit is honestly unlike anything I've ever seen before. You are thoughtful, caring, you are selfless, you are passionate, and above all else, you are one of a kind. My heart chooses you forever.
Oh my God. Emma, you take the most thorough notes.
Yes. I'm sure it's not yes. word for word because I'm typing
from Claire,
very.
Though.
Wow.
The ultimate note taker.
I didn't write down a single word of it.
It was, well,
all I remembered
speeches,
was Madison. She left 2 days ago, and Hannah Ann's face was just like, it was me.
And it just felt so weird. It just felt like inserted in there, like he'd been told
like,
to say it.
I thought it was kind of cruel.
It kind of tricked her. Like, it seemed like he was trying to be like, she's gone.
He
and
did downplay it.
You.
He didn't
she
say
was right. Yes,
she left on her own and I was heartbroken. He said, she's gone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which implies that he, like, had a realization and sent her home. That's what I would assume if I was Hannah Ann.
And apparently Hannah Ann still didn't learn like the true context of the whole situation.
Oh, that must have been fun to watch back.
Yeah. So not great.
No.
Very brutal. But she is overcome. She says, "You want me? Oh, my word." She loves saying, oh my word.
She said, "Oh, my word," like 8 times in a row.
Yes. Yeah. Over and over again. Yeah. It's such an antiquated phrase. Yeah. It's so funny coming out of this like Instagram model 23-year-old's mouth. It's very sweet and Southern.
Yeah. Oh, my word.
I wonder if she does like OMW. Yeah. Is it offensive to do OMG?
I'm going to start using that.
OMW. And Pete's just like, I love you. Really?
Like he's trying to convince himself. And look, I think he does care for her. He does maybe love her, but I don't think he is in love with her. And he's just really talking himself into it, which is hard to watch.
And he's then just like, from my first impression rose to my last, will you accept this rose? Of course she accepts it and the proposal.
So painful.
It was painful because it's just been obvious to anyone watching that it wasn't his, she wasn't his first choice.
No.
Yeah. And it was, this all happened in like the first 15 minutes of a 2-hour episode. It's like,
so you're like,
God.
There's much more to come. Yeah, this isn't lasting.
Yeah.
And just seeing from part one, how he was acting towards her. Like, he was just not that into her. And it was clear. He was in love with Madison.
Yeah.
But because his family, who clearly plays such a big role
in his decision-making,
was all about Hannah Ann, he's like, he couldn't, at this point now, when he rushes back to them to tell them and, like, tease it up, that he's engaged and they won't believe who it is. And, like, it was just...
Yeah, it just felt like he had done something right. And was like a puppy wagging its tail. It's like, guess who I brought home? Yeah. Hannah Ann, what you wanted.
Oh, that is exactly it. He's like, I performed correctly.
Yes, mm-hmm. Yes.
I have done the task. And of course, Barb sobs.
Can we talk about also when he said, I'm engaged? And then they showed his parents. And, it was his mother had so little expression in response to this that I honestly thought it was taken from a different moment. But his father reacted appropriately. Like, he's engaged.
His mom was just like, who is it?
Yes. She was just like terrified. Completely pan-faced. Yeah. It was unbelievable. It's like, if he's engaged, like, get over it if it's not who you wanted. She was only happy he was engaged if it was who she wanted.
I know. She was truly looked terrified. She was like gripping her other son and her husband's hand. Mm-hmm. She is sobbing as soon as Peter walks into the room. Remember that they've seen him about a week before
this. It was like a week ago.
And she's just... Bud, we missed you.
She's like, we missed your smile and your clothes.
It's so weird.
And you're like, what?
She said we missed your clothes.
No.
Yes.
She did not.
That's what I heard.
She misses everything.
She's like, we missed your smile, your clothes,
I feel bad making fun of the mother of someone on the show because I know that she didn't sign up for this the way he did, but. Like, oh, my God.
Look.
Like, tone it down a notch. Yeah.
I think that Barb, I think she clearly cares a lot about her family.
Yes.
And I do think it comes from a place of protection and love. I don't think she's some evil person, but I do think that.
Or just a drama queen. Like, she is dramatic, but I don't think that's the reason.
No.
Yeah.
I think every adult child comes to a point in their lives where they need to set boundaries with their family members.
Yes.
And Pete is almost 30 and he has yet to set one single boundary. And I think that is what really came across to me the most consistently last night is all I could think about was this man needs to move out of his parents' house and
lay
down the law and create some boundaries so that they can actually have a positive relationship for the next decades.
Yeah.
Because this is not healthy.
No.
Not at all.
And not sustainable.
No. If anything, this kind of behavior and codependence will ultimately create a wedge as we, are kind of seeing. And so, this was hard to watch. And of course, Barb is also sobbing when he says Hannah Ann. He's like, we love her so much. We love her. We love her.
She spent the afternoon with her.
Right. Yeah. We don't even really know her.
Yeah. We don't know her. But also, I fact checked this. We missed your smiles. It's actually, we've missed your hellos.
Oh, I thought it was clothes.
Oh. Which is also as weird.
It is as weird.
Well, see, this is what happens when I'm taking notes and don't re-listen to it.
But hellos is
also weird.
We missed your hellos.
But she anyway, needs to be back able to spend Hannah a week without her kid. That's all. That's what I think. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. She thinks she knows Hannah Ann from spending a two-hour afternoon with her.
Just because I think Hannah Ann is, and look, I have this instinct too, is very much agreeable, very much was trying to make it so clear how much she cared for Peter, and she was just like, this is my role here.
She was like, my one mission today is to make sure his parents know how much I love him.
Right. She's mm-hmm. like, my role here is to be his rock, is to stand by him and hope that I ultimately get my needs met.
Yeah. And she was definitely, she had the right audience for that approach.
Because they, all that his family wanted was to see that someone was truly obsessed with their son.
Yes.
I'm sure also in part because he got burned in the last season. Yeah.
It's a little too much. This whole thing, though, they FaceTime Hannah Ann.
Barb keeps referring to Hannah Ann as her
daughter-in-law.
Daughter.
Just daughter. Just
as
daughter.
Her daughter.
Yes.
And they're all like group hugging, and then they're like, we miss you. We love you. Like, what? What?
And then Barb says, and they lived happily ever after. It's like so dark.
And Pete's like, that we did. Like, is it? No. No.
And cue the ominous music.
Yeah. His family dynamic is about to be crushed.
So dark. Peter comes out then to sit up with Chris Harrison, the Chris Harrison. And he looks very dapper. He's like this black suit and skinny tie.
Very groomed. His eyebrows have clearly been groomed.
Looked like he'd gotten a shave since. And Pete's like, yeah, that day was a great day. And I was so happy with my decision. And it was a great moment. And then Chris is like, so were you able to move on from Madison? And he says, well, those feelings don't just disappear in 2 days. And look, I think that's real and correct. But I think this sort of also exposed some of the problem, like how this show's structure can set people up to fail by pushing an engagement rather than perhaps allowing a little bit more complexity of feeling at the end. You know, I think often, like, I think if the lead clearly has one person in mind the whole time, it's a lot easier.
Which, for the most part,
they
has
do.
Been the case. Even if they're
like
torn, there's... Yeah. But even someone like Ben Higgins, who told both girls he loved them, like, he had a clear choice. At the end.
Yes. Yeah. And he stuck to it. And I think that that's been sort of my issue with Peter, is that I think he's a very sweet human, but he has not a very good sense of self or a sense of trusting his own decision-making.
All. And that's why he did feed into a reward the drama all season. It was just because he didn't have any of his own conviction in anything.
Yeah, exactly.
He's like, this is the way it's supposed to be. I'm supposed to end up with someone. So I have to propose to Hannah
Ann.
Because
so
I can't leave this alone. Like,
yes.
I'm The Bachelor. Like, this is the way it's supposed to be.
This is supposed to work for me. Yeah. And this is the person that's there for me. And I also just think, he's so swayed by whoever the last person he spoke to is.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So the last people he spoke to were Hannah Ann and his mother.
Yeah. Which, Barb seems to run that life.
Yeah. So, then we go back and we see a bunch of post-filming footage of Peter and Hannah Ann.
Which looks eerily familiar, by the way. Doesn't it?
It's very Ari and Becca.
Very Ari and Becca. I was a little bit disappointed, though. At least with Ari and Becca, we got to see some of their fun times. And I was very unclear here, like, what is the timeline? How long had it been?
And apparently it had been a month since they spoke.
Because,
again, I listened to the Happy Hour podcast. They had Hannah Ann on.
Did she clarify the timeline?
She said they spent, like, December together and then literally did not see each other all through January. And then this breakup happened at the end of January.
Okay.
So they had been speaking, and Peter had been telling her over the phone that, like, he was confused. He had mixed feelings. But she, of course, was still his rock. She was there for him, helping him, like, figure it out. And that she asked him, like, if you're going to break up with me, like, just tell me before I'm out in L.A. so that I know. And he said, no, we're going to make it work. And then they broke up.
Oh, it's brutal.
Because, yeah, once I saw Hannah Ann was on that podcast, I was like, I need some background.
I know. I started listening to it this morning, yeah. and I didn't get
so that
all the
was
way
interesting, though, because
yeah.
they didn't explain, like, the timeline
they
of, like, did they have
that.
Any, what do they call them, happy?
Happy couple visits. Yeah, it was confusing to me. I was like, they must have, because it seemed like they had been having an extended conversation.
Sorry, yeah. I'm just laughing. And you're like, happy couple visits.
Yeah. Not very happy couple.
I've been recapping this show for too long. I know way too much.
She's like, happy couple. I got it.
Yeah,
I got it.
The happy couple visits.
Yeah, I think
so.
They had...
I'm like that also about all this. So.
But you've actually experienced it, and I've just like talked to you a lot.
Well, I know by your notes that you are definitely, you know what you're talking about.
But yeah, happy couple visits, maybe a few for them, like in December, or it was a holiday season, so maybe they got to spend time together then. But yeah, January, like nothing. They just talked.
In general, it felt like we didn't see any of them actually happy together, which you're right, Emma's like, it felt like it was lacking. I don't know. It didn't feel like we even really knew what we were losing. There was sort of like the stakes weren't as high as
it was like, as they should have been. But then we didn't see each other.
But also it felt really odd to go literally from Peter being so happy and saying, I've never been more sure of my choice, to them breaking up. I'm like, wait, they seem to have had a relationship, but we have
not
no sense of it.
Also with Ari and Becca, he pretty much admitted that he had spoken to Lauren over the course of several weeks. And, you know, there was something waiting in the wings for
him. Peter had not spoken to Madison.
I kind of feel like we needed more. Anyway, we'll get to that.
But
we
needed a lot more clarity. Apparently he wanted closure with Hannah B.,
Which is actually that weird.
Oh. I know, but that was such like tea spilled. Like I was
felt like that was, you know, as Chris Harrison once said about someone like throwing a grenade in the room and walking out.
I agree.
That was a grenade, and I was like, what?
We need more on that. But I suspect that just from like interviews we've heard with Peter and Hannah, that it was kind of like he reached out when that stuff aired just to be like, we're good, we're done.
Yeah.
Because it was brought up. But also, Peter is incredibly unsure of himself, so maybe I'm giving him too much credit.
He's the ultimate waffler. Like, I feel like if he just even spoke with her for, like, quote-unquote closure, he would leave wanting to be with her.
Yeah, that's actually true.
Like, he
that's
watched that episode, and he probably watched the episode and was like, wait, should I have pursued Hannah
B? He's like, the audience seems to think. But honestly, I kind of think that he should have.
Yeah.
And he should not have been The Bachelor.
We'll get to that, but yes, 100%.
Could you imagine? Ugh, we would have saved so much time.
I know.
Okay.
Oh, God. But so Hannah Ann arrives in L.A. She did seem less surprised than, say, Becca about, like, the fact that there were cameras there and that she seemed to have prepared some remarks. Like, she clearly knew they were prepared by him,
at least.
That they were, like, on the rocks. I don't think she was prepared for the breakup, but she was more composed than Becca was. I thought it was weird that Peter, like, grabbed Hannah Ann's leg and, like, put it over his if he's about to break up with her.
And after they'd broken up, they were holding hands. I don't get that. Yeah. I don't hold hands with someone I've just broken up with. Am I a cold bitch?
I'm trying to think. No, I think sometimes I have experienced a sort of like desperation of clinging on to
what you know
a close
about to leave
yeah,
you.
Yeah, yeah. But not in like a sweet way. It's in like a sad way.
She's like Ashley P, the support cow. That like Hannah Ann is Peter's support cow. And that's literally
really sad to watch because he just keeps saying, you know, you've been my rock. I'm so thankful for you.
But again, she's like, I have no rock. Like I have gotten nothing in return.
I mean, she was so great in this scene.
She was great.
She gave him the best tongue lashing. It was amazing. I love that she didn't just go for the tears and like she was pissed.
It was incredible. Yeah. I loved the anger.
She called him all the things that he needed to be called out on.
We also saw very little edge and personality from Hannah Ann throughout most of the season.
Which is tragic because I feel like she's kind of funny and she's sharp and
Yeah, and clearly well-liked, like from what I've seen just from the girls' you know, social media interactions.
And she was originally supposed to be the villain. That much is obvious based on night one, the first impression rose for stealing time, Champagne Gate.
Yeah.
And the fact that I wrote this in a recap a couple weeks ago that like the fact that she managed to sidestep that edit is it shows how smart she is and savvy she is because it means that she was well-liked by everyone and she didn't just... She learned her lesson early on and didn't fall for it for the rest of her time there.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah, this, we love Hannah Ann.
We really, yeah. We have really turned around on Hannah Ann.
I really was not a fan of her. Mostly just not that I thought she was bad, but that I just like had no sense of her, and that frustrated me. And this episode really turned that all around. And I think I also just, this is why I loved your season so much, Charlene, because I love seeing women on this show just get righteously kind of pissed and like express themselves, because so much of it is built around being agreeable so that you can.
Yes.
Because this man is the center. You can make it further. Yeah. And so I just found this really satisfying. And I love that she says, for me, when I said yes to you, I said yes to a partnership. I said yes to us being teammates and working through things. But if you can't give me that love in return, then that's not a relationship. She says, you know, I'd stay by your side even if it killed me, but it has to be 50-50. Mm. And I thought that was really, really well said. Like, she's like, we are partners, not I'm here to, again, be your emotional support cow, as you said, Lee.
Yeah. And he's just keeps telling her, you know, I didn't know my heart would be with two people. And, you know, I'm battling, like, there's so much pain that I'm battling because I don't want to hurt you, but I'm also, you know, he still has feelings for someone else, clearly. But at this point, it's not even like he's talking to Madison or thinks he's going to get back with Madison. He's just realizing, I shouldn't have even proposed to you. Because
it's better to be alone than to do what he did.
Exactly.
Yes, absolutely.
I loved when she said, you took this precious moment away from me because you selfishly didn't want me to walk away. I just love this so much.
I loved that, too.
Because he has been so selfish all season. I think he means well, but he's just been so selfish in every decision he's made. He's been
every
kind of entitled.
One.
Yeah. And he's always put, as she said, also, because she says everything right, you put your needs and wants like above mine. I just love that she called him out on this. Oh, it was so great.
And it's interesting to see both Hannah Ann and Madison spoke to that, saying like, you're just because this is, you are the lead does not mean that your needs are the only thing that matter here.
It bothered me because I really feel like, I hate to say like a real man or whatever, but I do feel like there are leads that would really want that a woman to stand up for themselves and be like, and point out his mistakes. And
like Nick.
Be held. Yeah, yeah. Nick would absolutely. Yeah. He loves to be held responsible. He can accept responsibility. And I feel like Peter instead would just sort of like kind of act like, well, I am the bachelor.
Yeah.
Right.
And sort of just apologize a lot and hope to move on from it. Mm-hmm. I don't ever feel like he was like, you're right. You're putting me in my place. I won't do it again. I understand what I did wrong.
Right. Like and I think even when he sort of accepted responsibility, which he did a lot last night, like in word, it didn't necessarily, it was hard for me to tell, like, what are you absorbing and what
have you learned?
What actions are you going to change now that you have accepted responsibility?
Yeah, now you're accepting it, but it's the last episode.
It also just means nothing to say, like, yes, you're right, and not then, like, and I hope we do see, I hope for the sake of the other people in his life that he has learned something from this.
Yeah.
But yeah, she also says, you took away from me my first engagement, which I loved.
I was like, well.
She's like, to be clear, this will not be my last.
Yeah. It was great. Gets to the whole point, too. It's just like.
Too.
He kept asking the women to, like, you need to be there for me. You need to open up to me. You need to stand by me and all this stuff. And
because he's needy.
Yes. And her point was, like, I wanted that in return, too. Like, and I'm asking you to give that to me, and you can't. So.
I think what's interesting about Peter is that especially because of what happened with Hannah, all he was looking for was... He was like, I need someone to show me that they love me unconditionally. Mm-hmm. And he spent not enough time thinking about what can I be giving? What is the love that I can give? What does a mutual love and respect look like?
And also, what traits am I looking for in a lifelong partner? Literally, all he said all season is, I want someone who loves me as much as I love them.
Yeah.
That's not right. That's not a correct requirement.
Yeah, he went after all the women who ran away from him, like literally. And
yeah, it's all kinds of. But also did, you know, affirm him too. It was this like he likes the dance, but he also desperately needs the affirmation. All of it felt so young and immature to me. Mm-hmm. Like this is not a person who's really thought about what he needs in a partner. This is not a person who has taken enough space to understand, like,
to reflect
and say, what is my worldview and mm-hmm. what are my values yeah. and how do my partner's values feed into that? Like, what do I need? What can I compromise? What can I not? Like, yeah.
I mean, we really saw that the most with Victoria F. Yeah. I know we've all recapped that to death, but I do feel like Victoria F. really showed what he was doing wrong. Yeah. How he views relationships and how he views challenges in relationships. It's just like he's like a high schooler.
Yeah.
Yes, he's like a high schooler.
Yeah. Exactly.
I had a more mature relationship than that when I was in high school.
Right.
No, and just watching these 23-year-old women who, you know, we've been
run circles
a little bit,
him.
But yes. like, yes.
Yes.
Yes. A 28-year-old man should know better.
I was like, the level of emotional intelligence and maturity that both of these women showed last night,
yeah.
it was such a contrast to Peter. It was shocking.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Or not even shocking, but it was telling. It was yes. brutal.
And even just how Madison was... Oh, we'll get to it.
Okay. So, they're going through this. She says, you know, she makes him address... point by point what he is sorry for, which I also loved because I'm yeah. like, this woman is getting this on film. She's like, sorry for what?
Yeah.
For not being man enough to follow through on your words, not being true to your words, not being true to your feelings. Is that what you're sorry for? And he's like, yes. Yeah. And again, sorry. I don't love the real man being man enough construction, but I understood what she was trying to say
yes.
and I got it yeah. and I thought she was right.
Yeah.
And he apologized again, and she sort of pushes him. She's like, okay, if you're sorry, then, like, why is this happening? What did she, it's like she is pushing him to really reflect on what led us here, and all he can say is, like, I didn't want to hurt anyone.
As
though it just happened, and his heart was just pulled in different directions, as though there's no decision-making involved in this. Mm-hmm. Like, he did not have to withhold the information from her that Madison had left. He did not have to propose.
Yeah.
He did,
yeah.
like... He so many of these things were his choices.
And to be honest, if he was honest, too, with Hannah Ann about how Madison left, she might have not even said yes to a proposal. She might have just been like, okay, maybe we can date and see where this goes. Or she might have walked away herself. He started this whole thing out not being honest.
Yeah.
So right there, it's going to fail.
Yes. And as she said, she was like, I didn't even know what I was saying yes to.
Exactly. Right. Mm-hmm.
She says, you know, I can't even look at you anymore. I just need someone who's going to be true to their words, not be torn and conflicted 90% of the time because it's
so
affected
great.
A lot of people.
So good.
I don't need anything more from you. You've done enough damage. Yeah. And then she gives ring back to Peter and we get the Barb cam and Barb is
clapping.
The audience just like clapping for Hannah Ann dumping her son. It's savage.
I mean, the Barb cam last night. Was
give that person a raise decided to just
someone was just like let's just keep the camera on Barb
yep
flip back to Hannah Ann every once in a while backstage but Barb is
she gives good reaction
she oh my gosh
she was never boring
oh my gosh
she delivered
yeah
Peter is such a people pleaser that he like couldn't bear to let Hannah Ann go after like it's like he wanted some sort of appeasement
mm-hmm.
and so he kind of follows her out and she like eventually just swats him away out of the car.
It's like when Ari, like, remember says, Ari was like following Becca around too. It's like just leave these
alone.
Women alone. Let
like you've
them
done, you've
leave.
Made the choice. You had the power in making that choice,
yeah.
and you don't get to then determine the reaction.
No,
yeah,
you don't get a hug goodbye. Like, no.
So yeah, we cut back to Peter and Chris Harrison, and Chris is like, Pete, are you all right? Like, sir, no, he's not. He's like, Hannah Ann was the most beautiful soul. I need Peter to get some new descriptors.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He calls both Hannah Ann and Madison the most selfless person he's ever met.
Yeah. The most beautiful souls.
The most beautiful souls. I'm like, you can't, if you're saying people are, you can't like use all the same descriptors and then be like, but you're one of a kind. That's really, I need him to get a wider vocabulary.
Yeah. He needs a thesaurus.
At least, I mean, this is an upgrade from, like, amazing and incredible.
That's
at
true.
Least.
They are, they're not just amazing and incredible. Yeah, they're also, they have beautiful hearts and beautiful souls.
There's two angels walking on this earth, carrying his heart around out of his body. Pete says his feelings for Madison were a part of the Hannah Ann breakup because Of course he would say that, because I'm just sensing there's going to be a Madison twist. Aren't we all sensing that?
And it might be an unpopular opinion, but I definitely saw the whole Madison-Peter thing towards the end just as very off. And I thought it was interesting that Peter's exact words about that were, when Chris Harrison asked, you know, was it your feelings for Madison? He said, a little bit.
Yeah.
Not completely, but a little bit. This is knowing Madison, we would later find out, is backstage waiting to come on.
Yeah.
So to me, I feel like that is a lackluster response. I don't think it's as, you know.
He's hedging.
He's hedging, and it's odd, considering they, you know, supposedly end up together-ish. But we'll get to that.
We'll get to that. I think he's also just, look, he is not good at, like, something that in talking to Nick Vile that he's always said is, like, when you figure out who you want to be with, you need to protect that relationship.
Yes.
And I feel like Peter did an abysmal job of protecting any relationship.
So to the point where my recap today is about how I don't actually think he wanted to get back together with Madison. I'm not joking.
Interesting. Okay.
But we'll get to that. Yeah.
I mean, I think Peter should be single for a little while and get his own apartment.
He should just be bachelor famous, get his rocks off for a while and figure out what he's like.
Go back with Hannah B, maybe. I just don't. We're going to take a quick break, but when we get back, we break down more of the incredibly brutal Bachelor finale.
Okay, so you got engaged. Congrats. Now you may be wondering what comes next.
If you're planning a wedding, the first thing you need to know about is Zola.
With Zola, you can plan your entire wedding in one convenient place. From the day you get engaged and search for the venue to the day you send out your save the dates, make your registry, and even taste your cake.
Zola has literally everything you need to make the whole process super easy and actually even enjoyable.
There's even a 5-star app that helps you plan on the go or, you know, from your couch, which is certainly how, if I was planning a wedding, I would definitely want to do it as loungily as possible.
So important.
I also just know myself. I know that planning any kind of event, like even a birthday party, can get very stressful. And so it's been really cool to see friends use Zola. It really seems to make everything a lot less stressful. And as a frequent wedding attender, I love to be able to hop on that Zola registry and just purchase a gift. Easy peasy. I know I've done it. I won't forget. Thank you, Zola.
Yeah, everything's all in the same place. It's perfect. Start planning at Zola.com. That's Zola.com.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp.
Lately, my social battery has actually been full to bursting. I feel like I've barely been able to see anyone all winter, especially with little kids at home and constant daycare bugs. And I'm just like dying to get out there and see some people. And, you know, it's actually been kind of hard at times over the winter to feel like I'm just desperate to see friends and I don't have time to do it.
I feel like we're constantly trying to regulate, like, what's the correct amount of social energy? What kind of space do we need to carve out to actually give ourselves the space to socialize? What space do we need to carve out to give ourselves time to actually recharge? Either way, therapy can give you some self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery or store it up a little too much.
If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try.
It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule.
Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge.
Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp.
Visit BetterHelp.com/love to see it today to get 10% off your first month.
That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/love to see it. Eat stress-free this spring with Factor's delicious, ready-to-eat meals.
Every fresh, never-frozen meal is chef-crafted, dietitian-approved, and ready to eat in just 2 minutes.
And you can choose from a weekly menu of 35 options and more than 60 add-ons every week.
Eliminate the hassle of prepping, cooking, or cleaning up. Just heat and savor the good stuff.
Plus, you can customize your weekly meals with as much or as little as you need. and you can pause or reschedule your deliveries to suit your lifestyle.
They're celebrating Earth Day all month long at Factor. Look out for the Earth Month Eats badge on the menu for their lowest carbon footprint meals.
Especially since I've been back from my travels, I've gotten really out of practice with my normal meal prep, and so Factor has been really helping me kind of bridge that gap, know that I have healthy, whole meals in my fridge ready to eat when I need them.
Head to factormeals.com/LTSI50 and use code LTSI50 to get 50% off your first month, plus 20% off your next month.
That's code LTSI50 at factormeals.com/LTSI50. 50% off your first box, plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active. If you have a cat, you want your cat to be healthy and happy because, of course, that makes you happy.
But since, you know, people aren't mind readers, we don't always know when our cats are unwell.
So helping us keep tabs on our cat's health is just one reason you should use Pretty Litter.
Pretty Litter's ultra-absorbent crystals trap odor instantly. No more cat bathroom smell.
Pretty Litter's super light crystal base also minimizes mess and dust.
Here's the coolest thing about Pretty Litter. It actually changes color to help monitor early signs of potential illness in your cats, including urinary tract infections and kidney issues.
Plus, Pretty Litter ships free right to your door in a small, lightweight bag.
Our producer, Talon, has started using Pretty Litter for his cats, and he is a huge fan already. He's found that, like, the crystals really do soak up that odor, and cleaning the litter box is easier than it's ever been because it doesn't get all like weird and clumpy inside, which I remember so well from cleaning my cat's litter box.
Pretty Litter helps keep tabs on your cat's health and keep odors down.
You and your cat are going to love Pretty Litter as much as we do.
Go to prettylitter.com/LTSI and use code LTSI to save 20% on your first order.
That's prettylitter.com/LTSI, code LTSI to save 20%.
prettylitter.com/LTSI, code LTSI.
Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Let me set the scene. Imagine upgrading your wardrobe with luxury essentials at actually unbeatable prices.
I love it.
Quince is here to transform the way you shop with a range of high-quality items priced within reach.
Like 100% Mongolian cashmere sweaters for $50, organic cotton sweaters, washable silk tops, and timeless 14-karat gold jewelry.
The best part? All Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. We truly love to see it.
By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes the savings on to us.
And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes.
I love Quince, and I actually have a couple recent Quince purchases that I'm really excited about. I just ordered the Glow Boho hoops to have like kind of a chunkier version of my usual gold hoops to wear, like maybe on a date night or something. And they are beautiful. They're everything I dreamed of.
Indulge in affordable luxury.
Go to quince.com/LTSI for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns.
That's quince.com/LTSI to get free shipping and 365-day returns.
quince.com/LTSI.
And now back to the end of Pilot Pete's journey and Barb. More Barb. So Pete and Hannah Ann have not seen each other since the breakup. I also love that backstage, Hannah Ann makes like an incredible eye roll face when Peter is talking before she comes out. She looks gorgeous.
She really does.
Barb is like legit cheering for her.
Barb is obsessed with Hannah Ann.
I was like, Barb definitely still texts Hannah Ann.
Yeah,
100%. 100%.
They definitely meet up for dinner dates. There's no doubt.
Yeah, it's... Oh, and Hannah Ann also shows up prepared.
She
for
is
this.
Ready, oh. Which is so. It was so nice to see, though, a woman who's clearly had time now to think about her breakup. That she just had notes. She knew exactly what she wanted to hit.
Mm-hmm.
Don't we
she
all wish?
Lines.
Don't
I
we
like
all
response.
Wish we could be that prepared for a breakup?
Yes, and it's like she knew what he was going to use as his defense or yes. come back with, and she was like, "But like every
she
time
came back, she came
It was amazing.
Off so well.
Launches into a monologue, basically. She said, words are powerful, Peter. Either you mean what you say or you don't understand the weight of your words. So she basically put him in a situation where it's like, either you're a liar or you're an insensitive jackass.
Yeah, yeah. So good.
It was fantastic.
And she says, you know, you knew how serious I was about an engagement and you knew me saying yes to you, I was going to stand by you. And it's true. Mm-hmm. He did know those things. Mm-hmm. She said those things.
Yeah.
And
he's so weak.
I also thought it was very weird that she says he reached out to her parents and said, I wish we had met off of the show. Like, again, Peter is trying to people please all the time. Mm-hmm. So he ends up doing things that are counterproductive. Like, I'm sure that he reached out to her parents because he feels an immense amount of guilt.
Yes.
Yes.
But you need to give her parents some space or send them one message just saying,
this is my fault.
There is nothing to say besides I'm sorry. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I am so sorry that I put you through this.
But no, he's trying to be like, you know what?
If
I'm
only
sorry,
this other
but
thing.
If we weren't on a reality show, maybe it could have worked out. Yeah. It's
I'm
the reality
sure, but,
show's fault.
But you were on a reality show.
Yeah. No, it's your fault, so. Peter. This is all your fault.
Also,
just
like,
apologize.
You went on The Bachelor. And she points this out. She's like, you signed up to be The Bachelor.
Yeah.
So, like, unfortunately, the negatives that come along with meeting someone on reality television are just part and parcel of that. Mm-hmm. Like, I have empathy for him to an extent, but like, to an extent, but I think she's right. Like, he signed up for it. Like, I always try to think about, okay, how did the structure of the show impact people and their decision making and try to be sympathetic to that as much as possible. Mm-hmm. But also, like, there is personal responsibility here, and lots of people go on this show and don't end up in this situation.
Yes. 100%. Also, just even the argument of that, like, I wish we had met in real life. It's like, what would have been different? Like, you just, none of the, you weren't.
I think he wasn't that into her.
I get that he, it's like, I wasn't expecting my heart to be torn in two directions or whatever. But I just, like, you have to have some inner compass telling you who you like the most. Andy said watching part one, he was like, if you love two women, you love neither.
Yeah.
Yes.
I love watching it with my husband because he just like he drops nuggets all the time when we watch this. Anyway, and it's true. If you love them both and you love neither enough, certainly, to become engaged to one of them.
Nope.
Right. Right. Like, you don't get engaged.
But he says, you know, I did love you. Like, I wouldn't have proposed to you if I didn't feel that love in my heart. But
also, where else are you feeling love? Like, why are people using this phrase? Is
in
just
my heart.
Yeah, you had love in your heart for me, and I had love in my heart for you. Versus, like,
use
love
your freaking brains,
love in your brain. Like, I
stop using your heart and think with your brain.
And this is where Hannah Ann, you know, I think Peter kind of tries to shut it down. He's like, everything you say is 100% right. Everything is fair.
Yeah,
and she is like, well, I didn't even know what I was saying yes to. I didn't know the extent of what happened in Australia. Mm-hmm. And so that wasn't fair. And he's like, well, I only had 2 days. And she points out, you could have told me the truth in those 2 days.
Yeah. This is what bothers me about Peter's, like, he'll agree with her and be like, I did everything wrong. But then he does, he gets defensive also slightly at every turn.
Right.
Like,
but.
Yeah.
Always.
Like, but I did have love in my heart for you when I proposed. Like, I meant it this way. Yeah. You know, he's always defending himself at every turn. Sorry, I'm like so annoyed with that.
Same. It was so hard to watch. And she says, you know, if you'd been honest, maybe I would have picked up on the fact that you weren't ready for a commitment with me and the outcome would have been different. And I thought this was also key. She says, the most hurtful part is that you didn't respect me enough to sit down and have that open conversation with me. Mm. And I think that is true. It's like a lack of respect when you are not giving a potential partner the full picture and all of the information, like, that is not respectful. Mm-hmm. Because you're not giving them the power to decide whether they want to be in that situation or not.
Yeah. Once again, it all comes back to his entitlement and selfishness as the Bachelor.
Yep. Even Barb sees it. She's just like...
Well, Barb certainly sees
she
it.
She is shaking her head with anything Hannah Ann is saying. Yeah. She's all on board. And then Chris gives Hannah Ann the final word, which was so great, too. So she just drops that truth bomb about Hannah Brown, how he needed closure. That was the first sign. And then she goes, a word of advice. If you want to be with a woman, you need to become a real man. And I was just like, on my couch. The redemption arc of Hannah Ann.
Yeah,
is
she's like,
incredible.
I don't need you to be my rock. I'm my own rock. Yeah. Like, yeah, oh, it was just, great. It was
so good. Be your own rock.
That's also, I want to point out that Hannah Ann is the only of the three to have posted on Instagram since this happened. And she posted a photo of herself saying, flying solo, no turbulence accepted, period.
Oh,
so
yes.
good. So good. You get that, Hannah Ann. And Peter is just defeated at this point. He's like, I'll forever be sorry for what I did to Hannah Ann.
You stole her first engagement.
Yeah, her first engagement. But then Chris Harrison's like, plot twist.
I got involved.
Which, you know, it's bad when Chris is like behind the scenes flying places.
Yeah.
Trying to broker a happy ending.
I gotta say, this really bugged me. I mean, I found this entire season overproduced.
This is insane.
Overstepping.
I
mean, to go without his consent, behind his back, to rekindle
and
rekindle a relationship that, especially given Peter's parents' opinion on the relationship, we have to ask ourselves, like, would Peter have gone out of his way to fly to Auburn, Alabama, and ask for Madison back?
No. I don't know that he would have.
I don't know that he would have either.
Because clearly he, unlike Ari, he was not already making those, taking those steps. And maybe he would have reached out after this all aired.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a shame, too, that Chris didn't realize what we all have been seeing is, like, they're not fit. Like, they're not a good fit.
And
none of what they value aligns. And mm-hmm. even if you're the host of the show and you want the drama and the producers are pressuring you, like, as a person, like, just don't get involved in it. Like, you know it's not going to work out. So now,
This show cannot let someone end up alone.
Yeah.
Right. No, they
Which
cannot.
I would have loved to see him alone.
Absolutely.
Like,
or even Hannah Brown, of all people, deserved to have her season just end with her. And even they were like, oh, but she might go on a date with Tyler C.
Yeah. Which then undercut her.
Of course, yes. Like, her love story was with herself, and they took that from her.
Yeah.
But
no,
maybe...
the show, you're right, they cannot handle... It's like, to them, nothing is... as tragic as someone being with themselves.
Yeah.
And I think that betrays something like really fundamentally depressing about the way that we look at finding love and partnership, mm-hmm. because trust that being happy with yourself and alone is significantly better than being in the wrong relationship.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Like, there, like being feeling lonely when you are with someone is a lot worse than having moments of loneliness when you are settled in your own life and with yourself. And this show needs to learn that.
So well said.
Yes.
No, but they couldn't bear the thought of two back-to-back seasons ending up with no couple.
And yet we have had that.
Yes.
Essentially. Because nothing about his connection with Madison seemed settled. Obviously.
Yeah,
and
it seemed forced.
I felt bad.
She didn't look happy.
No, and neither did she. She was put on the spot to be kind of tortured. And I thought that her conversation with Chris was emotional, and I really, really felt for her. But I thought it was telling that Chris asks if she regrets what she did, but he never says, have you thought any more about the reasons that you left?
Like,
those concerns still stand for you?
Mm-hmm.
How do you guys plan to then work through that?
Yeah, glossed over it.
Right, like, there's a reason they broke up.
Yeah.
Huge plot hole.
It was
right
very
there.
Important reasons. Oh, man.
So Chris Harrison takes the liberty of telling Madison he ended his engagement because of his feelings for you. This killed me. Because, again, earlier in this same episode, he was like, was it your feelings for Madison that caused you to do this? And he was like, a little bit.
He's like, somewhat.
Yeah, somewhat, but just, like, a little bit. And that's with Madison waiting backstage. In short, I don't think he ended his engagement, at least not solely for his feelings for Madison.
No, I think that he was just coming to the realization that Hannah Ann wasn't his person, that he had talked himself into
it.
And that he was still thinking about Madison, and that was a signal to him that his relationship with Hannah Ann wasn't right.
Yeah.
But they took this and really ran with it.
Yeah, Chris was like, he is heartbroken. Like, he needs you, Madison.
I think in his dream he would be with you. He said that.
Yeah, because you know what he's dreaming about, Chris. Yeah.
Despite the fact that he doesn't even know I'm here, I'm going to speak on his
behalf.
It's bad.
Why the hell wasn't Peter there?
I don't know. Like, did they not think he would pitch himself well enough? Did they not? Yeah.
Did they not even ask him?
Or were they worried Madison would say no and they didn't want?
But even that would be great TV.
I know.
That's what I'm saying. Like, in any scenario, no matter how you slice Peter not being there, it's not appropriate what they did. Yeah. Either they suggested it and he said no, or they were afraid to suggest it, maybe because it was too soon, in which case it's still not okay.
Peter should have been there. And so they fly Madison to L.A.
Without Peter knowing.
Yeah.
And I guess he was expecting Chris Harrison. He clearly knew they were filming a segment. Maybe they told him, we're filming a segment about
like a
how
up.
You're alone.
Like, yeah.
And he turns around and Madison's there and he looks shocked.
And not necessarily thrilled.
It was just shock. Like
it was definitely shock.
But probably the first thing that went through his mind is, oh, she reached out to them. She wants to see me. Which that's not the case. Like they are tricking both of them into this situation.
And throughout this, Barb is looking so pissed. Yeah. So pissed at Chris Harrison. Like mm-hmm. she's like, this man overstepped so much. And then when we see footage of Madison in a car on the way to L.A., Barb is like shaking her head, rolling her eyes. Like
it was.
Oh my God.
She is not into this at all.
And
we aren't into the situation either. Because like we just said, like it feels like trickery. It's weird.
Oh my God. And we see some footage of Madison and Peter talking. And she says, you know, what I felt for you in Australia, it has not gone away at all. And I was hoping it would. And I was hoping I would get closure. And I never did. And they hug for a very long time. And Peter says, I made a million and one mistakes, but I know that I fell in love with you and I messed it up. And I'm so sorry, but I haven't fallen out of love with you. And they hurt each other like crazy. But she's here for a reason right now. And it ends with Peter just looking at Madison and saying, so what do we do? And there is no conclusion.
No.
As to what they do.
Because it will happen on the live show.
Oof. But Peter does say he's in love with Madison on stage to Chris. Then they bring Madison out. She looks very
gorgeous. No, you can't skim over this. Chris Harrison asks, are you in love with Madison? And Peter answers, yeah.
Oh, does he say yeah?
No. What? He goes,
Pause.
Yeah. I'm not joking.
See, this is why I need you here. I should have rewatched. By this point, I was like delirious trying to take 1 million pages of
notes. Honestly couldn't believe it. It's like she's about to come on stage with you. You claim to still be in love with each other. Every step of the way where Peter should have emphatically stressed his adoration and undying love for Madison, he didn't.
Nope. He's like, really?
He's like, yeah.
And then, Maddie comes out. Barb turns to her husband and says something. And we need some
subtitles. So apparently.
She does this multiple times.
She turned to him and said something in Spanish.
Yes.
Like, because I was trying to lip read and I thought the end of it looked like you idiot or something like that. But apparently she was saying, ayúdame, like help me.
Uh-huh.
And she apparently basically told her husband, like, say something bad.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Back me up and help me.
Yeah.
By shitting on Madison.
Oh, God.
Frankly, I mean, they're a very happily married couple. I feel like he should have known to do that to please his wife without her needing to say it.
I think that was even, like, further in. She turned to him a lot
and said
during this. Yeah. But that was when...
That was towards the end.
Yeah, when Chris was gearing up to be like, all right, Pete Sr., it's your turn.
Yeah.
And she was like,
you better effing help me.
Yeah.
Because he was pretty quiet. And also, where was Jack? Was he there?
No, I saw Jack on Instagram story watching with his friends. And he has posted like earlier and then has not posted anything. I'm sure this whole family is in crisis
today. Jack must be like, wow, my family is torn apart. But yeah.
It's very rough. But Madison looks gorgeous. She's wearing a like Barbie pink, hot pink dress.
Her hair looks amazing.
Hair is so long and gorgeous. And
she finally had someone else do her lashes.
Yeah. Oh my God.
Her bottom lashes look 10 times.
It was so distracting the whole season. I was glad that someone professionally did her makeup.
Yes, and it looked good.
And they do seem a little bit giddy around each other, like giggly in this sweet way where I'm like, these two people really like each other. I thought they did really like each other. I do not think they're a good match. I do not think they should be together. But clearly there is some excitement and affection.
Well, that's what she's always said, though, is Madison's like, love is not our problem. Everything else is. So that's like, you see their connection, but you knowing what we know now, it's hard to
believe
if it's going to,
I'm going to respectfully disagree, which I know you guys don't mind.
You've
had me here like five times, so I think it's okay that I respectfully disagree. I did not feel like Peter looked happy. I understand that Barb was setting death glares, so maybe he was trying to like temper the situation, downplay. Yeah. However, the plainest way to convince your mother that the relationship you're in is right is to seem fucking happy.
Yes.
And he didn't.
Yeah, that's fair.
There was also no physical touch at all.
No, they were very separate.
It was like
separate.
A frigid, like icy body language, which
he
really stood out
like
to me.
Eventually put a vague arm around her.
But they weren't holding hands or anything.
That was after he had been encouraged to speak up and defend the relationship. Only then did he do it. He didn't do it without being asked. And then he put his arm like around her waist. But we're talking about a guy who like strokes the arms and thighs of women
that's
he sends
true.
Home that
you know,
night.
That's a very good
a guy who lifted
point.
Hannah Ann's like legs on top of him right before he was gonna
he
break
dumped
up
her.
With her. But he can't touch his new girlfriend.
I forgot about that.
You're right.
It's
you're right.
So
sorry,
weird.
I'm so not buying what we were sold
but
about this relationship.
Just imagine the glare of his mother and the glare of Maddie. Just like
Fair.
I can't even think about what Pete was kind of going through.
I felt like he
the tension.
He didn't know how to play it.
Absolutely.
No. Like, I don't necessarily know that he was, like, miserable that Maddie was there, but he clearly knows how his family feels about her.
Yeah.
And so, and there are also, I mean, I have to assume that Madison's family has some concerns as well.
Oh, yeah.
Given what they've seen play out and given, like, we never even saw, usually with the last couple people, you at least get one date where they're talking about, like, where would we live after? How would our lives look? We saw
Nothing.
About
we didn't
this.
Even get whether or not they're an actual couple.
Oh, no. Nothing.
The answer was we're taking things day by day.
Which means no
That's
to me.
That's encouraging. Oh, and also, looking to the future, his response was, do we have a million and one obstacles? Yeah. Is it all up here, uphill from here? Probably.
Oh, my God. Not it's
great
bleak.
Way
That's
to
romantic.
Start off. It really is. Let me tell you. He's going to take her line dancing and see if she can hang at the clubs. And once he figures out that's not her thing, it's over.
It's very bleak. And you can tell, you know, Pete says they've both been really hurt, which, like, how has he been hurt that she left, I guess? And they've both been through the ringer. They both need to do a lot of healing, but he knows the love and respect he has for her. And he's made more mistakes than you can ever make as The Bachelor, which is true.
Yes.
But
true.
He's happy to
One
sit on a couch
with.
Next to her. And Chris is, like, really wanting them to say, we've committed to being in a monogamous relationship as of now. Because he keeps saying, don't you want to give this relationship a real shot? Are you, like, he's really setting up this framing.
Mm-hmm.
And they're not really buying it. And this is where
Barb.
Chris throws to Barb.
Yeah, he's like, you know what? Let's check in with the family.
And I thought she was going to throw some shade, but she truly takes her son's show and drags him on live television. It was the wildest thing I've ever seen.
Yeah.
This is when shit hit the fan.
I tried to write down quotes. We'll see. She said, Chris, of course I have my feelings. And I thought she was going to then follow up with, but it's my son's choice.
Yeah.
She said, when I went for Hannah Ann, it was because she embraced me with love. She was so organic and loving towards me. Again, this is all about her.
Yeah.
Yes.
The next day we met Madison, and it started out rocky because she made us wait 3 hours. We were exhausted just getting used to the time there. And when she did come in, we didn't even get an apology from her. And when I proceeded to ask her if she was madly in love with my son, she said no. How do you expect a mother who loves her son with her whole heart? As a mother, that wasn't what we were expecting. And therefore, when I said I wanted Hannah Ann so badly, it was because I knew we clicked. Unfortunately, we didn't have that connection with Madison. And this was like the least harsh she was towards
Madison. Unfortunately, this is not your love story, Barb. Like,
this really crossed a line. Like, I think she is ultimately right that Madison and Peter are a terrible match. Mm-hmm. But, like, that is not how you conduct yourself.
No. And she's trying, you know, I'm a mother myself. I get the protective mother thing. I would never, though,
embarrass
my child on live TV when you can easily talk to them off camera about this.
The damage she did to the relationship, like to a relationship that already needed mending, like there's nothing that's salvageable.
It can't
that.
Come back from yeah. this. She was like, I will make myself look horrific and destroy my relationship with my son in order to, you know.
I actually feel she went into that wanting to defend herself because, you know, last Monday night she got a lot of hate.
DMs.
Yeah, she was like, oh, she basically alluded to getting a lot of hate online for giving Madison a hard time in Australia. And that's what's funny is I think she went into this trying to share her side of it and trying to defend herself. And in doing so, just made herself look a lot worse.
Yeah, and then parts of me, I was just like, I can't believe she just did that. Is this like her trying to take some of the heat away from her son? I was confused about the whole thing because mm-hmm. it just felt...
It was shocking.
Yes.
I was truly, my mouth was like
on the floor.
Because
Peter, the whole season, I mean, the whole time we've known Peter through The Bachelorette and all that, his family is so important to him. And like, that is his whole life. And we kind of watched like the dissolution of his family.
And I thought Madison handled herself incredibly well throughout this whole thing. You know, she multiple times tries to pivot it back to, this is about our relationship. Yeah. She says, you know, at the end of the day, it is what it is. I can't change the past. I've tried to be undeniably myself, and I'm not a mother. She's very generous. She says, I'm not a mother.
And she says, like, I don't know what it's like. So clearly I respect his family.
I'll never say a negative word about them.
Yeah.
And then she says, what do you think, Peter? Which I loved.
Yes.
Because why is this on her to defend herself?
Yes. And again, Peter's showing that he's not a full adult.
He has
adult,
no backbone in his own adult.
Yeah. Consider he should have leapt in far sooner to Madison's. Yeah. To Madison's defense. Also, I think where a lot of this stemmed from is like Peter, you know, one of the first things he even told his family about Madison in Australia was the whole fantasy suite ultimatum situation. And if he should know by now at his age how his mother is, how his family is, if they're the kind of people who are going to react to that defensively, offensively, and just generally see her in a different light because of that information, if it really was such an insignificant thing and the rest of their relationship was so fantastic, he should never have mentioned it.
Yeah.
Because it got their relationship off to the worst start.
Because, again, there's no boundaries with this family.
No.
Like, when you share something like that, that's going to stick with them.
Which means you have to censor what you tell you're a family like that,
yeah.
Frankly. Like, if it really is an insignificant thing that happened, just don't mention it.
Yeah.
Because it will forever taint the way they see her. He just didn't get the blame he deserved in that situation. Between Barb and Madison when really he was the one that I thought really fucked
yeah,
up.
Yeah, and he just, you know, was like, you know, my family has my best interests at heart. It comes from a place of love. You know, and he knows that their biggest worry is that she wasn't there for him the way he was there for her. But now I just don't even know what Peter must be thinking, though, because it's like he probably didn't expect his mother to go on the attack on live TV. And he's also trying to rekindle this relationship with a woman who's
allegedly
sitting next to him.
Allegedly.
That he might not want to rekindle in the first place.
Yeah.
Like,
But you would think that they would at least just, like, pull it together for national live television.
Yeah.
Like, if I really disliked someone, I would suggest that subtly, but not be explicit about it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, she could have just said, you know, Chris, as you've seen,
we have our differences,
we have our concerns, but this is my son's choice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's
done.
It.
Yeah.
And it would still have read as, like, she hates her. Like... But, oh, my God. And
what I found interesting is that it's, you know, let's say Hannah Ann broke up with, well, they broke up at the end of January. It's been a while that Peter and Madison have been at least tentatively pursuing something together.
It's been a month and a half.
Yeah, I find it interesting that evidently no effort has been made, or at least any effort to be made has been halted by producers.
Yeah.
I just find it weird that it's been a month and a half. They could have a FaceTime conversation. Yeah. They could have just this, you know, just a little friendly encounter along the way. I find it interesting that clearly that never happened. And it just made me feel like production had prevented much communication on that front.
Yeah, because, like, we didn't even get a sense that they... We know they didn't see each other since then, but did they even, like, talk? Like, did Madison and Peter get a chance to talk before this live coming together?
Yeah,
like,
yeah. This coming together, yeah, yes, indeed.
I just don't even know.
And what was really shocking to me is that Barb, like, doubled down and tripled down.
Yeah.
Over and over again. Mm-hmm. You know, she says Madison was not willing to compromise at all, which, again, I would have been really interested to know exactly what she's referring to.
I can believe it.
I can believe it, yeah, too. But I would have loved, like, to me, that would have been the better critique of their relationship, yeah, rather than
specifics as to
specifics, why. Not, yeah, like she didn't apologize for filming for 3 hours and making us wait.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I thought that was a very weak critique because, like, they are on a show and they are, I mean, production delays happen.
Yeah.
Like, it's not that crazy. But I do think, you know, what are the demands Madison has if they were to be together? Like, would it require things that would really disrupt Peter's life? Like, we don't know because, again, we've really not seen them kind of work that through.
Yeah. All we get is that Madison, you know, every time Barb comes in, Madison's like, she has something to say. And she said, I chose him, too. Like,
I love this.
I love that. Yeah.
I
and then
that.
Barb comes in like, Chris, he's going to have to fail to succeed.
She says all of his friends, all of his family, all who know him knows it's not going to work. So we've been trying to help him.
It's harsh.
Brutal.
Brutal.
It's so
and
brutal.
Pete is just like,
that's when
I
he
am
finally
telling you that
steps
I love
in.
Madison, and that should be enough. Listen, please. And this is when Barb turns to Pete Sr. I think this is when she's like, you got to help me here. Say something bad. You got to help me here. And Pete Sr. comes in and says, of course, he hates the situation. There are so many obstacles at
Which
this point
is,
to even start a relationship
best,
like that.
I think
like,
he
it's
makes
true.
The best
he
point.
Makes the best point.
Yeah, this is when it should be the easiest and the most fun, and it's just been difficult to even get here.
Right, because again, there are reasons that these two are long-term incompatible. Exactly,
yeah.
The reason that they ended things. And I thought that, like, what a shitty position to put Madison in. Like, I thought her conversation with Chris, again, really undercut her strength in ending the relationship.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because she was saying so many true things that Peter did not really know how to answer to when she was breaking up with him. Like, of course she cares about him. But she was right. There are things about their lives that are not compatible.
Yeah, and it just sort of felt like that was never addressed till the very end.
It was very
weird.
They're
just going to take things day by day, guys.
We're also at the point, too, where we have like 5 minutes left in the hour. Like, the show is coming to an end. We haven't even gotten to see Claire Crawley. And they just like wrap up the conversation with Chris being like, well, I wish the best for both of you. Like,
whatever it might be, but great.
We need
go
more.
Be happy. And it's like,
no,
this
is
not going to end
done.
Well. Also very telling that Peter is doing like no press today.
Yeah.
Mm. Right.
Also very telling that
his
parents stayed
on
out to watch Claire instead of like rushing backstage to be like, what
oh
just
my
happened?
God, I know.
Like they played into the game. Like
it
they stayed.
Disaster.
She hugged Claire like.
All
it
I
was
could,
all just...
All I felt was like, oh my gosh, the a number of fights that are about to happen in this family.
Yeah.
Like, Peter, move out immediately, engage in like a productive conversation, in give it some space, and then talk to your family. Like, if you want at all to even end things with Madison on a good note, separate yourselves, go have a conversation. Like,
I want to be in that car that took Madison and Peter away. Like, I wish I knew what that conversation was
I
like.
I would have just burst into tears on the stage if someone was speaking to me the way that...
And like you mentioned, like, no press. I usually have the Bachelor or Bachelorette on build with whoever they choose or even if they're alone. And nothing. Nothing for Peter. It could be coronavirus, but I just don't think that's it.
Yeah, I mean, he wasn't on Kimmel. Kimmel talked about it.
Was he on GMA?
I don't know.
Man. Because they don't know. Like, they... they don't even know if they're together. Like, what are they supposed to do? Go on TV and be like, yeah.
I didn't know that they could even opt out of that, or that he could opt out of that.
No, it looks like Wells and Jason were on GMA talking about it.
Yeah. Maybe Peter is just like, listen, I can't. Like, I've been through the ringer.
I think he's probably like,
he's exhausted.
He looked exhausted on stage.
We've said many times
he's like
how
Obama.
Obama.
He's like aged. Yeah.
He's aged through this process.
So before we wrap up, I know we've been talking forever. Let's talk a little bit about Claire Crawley.
Who got her 5 minutes.
Got like, 5 minutes. Yeah. But I look forward to a whole season. And they also released, as they do now, a bunch of the men who are likely going to be on Claire's season. Always a few end up getting cut before. But since there was some less than savory things discovered about people who had already been on the show, they've been doing this thing where they release people early, which I think
they
is wise.
They let the public do their work for them.
Exactly.
Yeah. Like, we should take that guy out of the cast.
I would like to get your thoughts. I know I saw your thoughts on Twitter and stuff, but about Claire, because obviously you know her personally. You were on her season of The Bachelor. You literally lived with her.
You were on Juan Pablo's season, which now I think Peter might have taken the crown for
if
worst
he
bachelor.
That is
no,
bullshit.
I think Juan Pablo was okay. First of all, I think Peter is very sweet, but I think Peter was by far a worse bachelor than Juan
Absolutely.
Pablo.
Juan Pablo, I don't think deserved the hate he got. In general,
you heard it here, folks.
I know. Well,
I've been very vocal.
I also just think the ways in which Juan Pablo was bad at being the Bachelor made the season very good.
Absolutely.
Versus this, which made the season very bad.
Mm-hmm. I've had many people tell me that even though they didn't like Juan Pablo, they loved watching it. It was one of their favorite seasons.
Oh, yeah. That's how I feel. I'm not a fan of him, but I thought that you guys were so wonderful,
and the
arc of the season was incredibly satisfying. I mean, just so many. Andy's speech about Juan Pablo, Claire's speech mm-hmm. to Juan Pablo. I mean, it was self-eliminating. It was great.
It was a chock-full season. Yes. Meanwhile, with Peter, you sort of start out with high hopes, and instead you're kind of learning like little unpleasant things about him along the way and not really sure what to make of it.
Yeah. So have you talked to Claire?
Impression?
No,
people assume that I'm not friends with Claire.
But you're not super close with
her. I haven't seen her since, I think there was like an after the final rose for Andy's season, like the season after ours, or maybe it was Chris Soules or something. Just, we were all like flown to LA and we stayed in the same hotel, like, we hung out briefly, but that was years ago now. I think last time we spoke was she had done Reality Steve's podcast, and I thought she was so great on it. So I just texted her, tell her I thought she was lovely, and we had a little back and forth, and it was totally fine. But again, that was like probably 3-4 years ago. I'm not even sure how long. So Clara lives on the other side of the country. We were never even super close when we lived in a house. I have nothing bad to say about her. We were in different groups, and
like the normal way and that these things work when you're living with a giant group of people.
I will say in general, Claire was kind of like on the, she was sort of a peripheral person on that group, and I was also a peripheral person on my group. Yeah. So like, I think we just sort of like got along, but weren't close. We're very different people. That said, I think I've always felt that she would make a killer lead because she has both the backbone, but she's also like not afraid to cry and be kind of a mess, which is like really the perfect combination. You don't want someone who's too chilly and like ice queeny, but you don't want someone who's too much of a mess where you don't respect them. You know what I mean? Like
I completely agree. She has that. She allows herself to lean into the emotions, but also is very eloquent and will tell someone off when they cross her.
Yeah.
And
she knows what she wants.
Oh, I'm so excited.
Yeah.
Let's talk about the dudes, which, so we know that, again, these decisions get made last minute, so they towards the end, try to kind of cast to the lead, but largely they're just casting for the show.
Yeah.
So these men are on the younger side than perhaps I would have expected.
Or hoped.
Then I would have hoped to give her, like, a real shot. Not that she can't date younger, but it feels like a 23-year-old, like, you're just not in the same place.
No.
So there is one 23-year-old, which feels absurd. There are only 9 men who are over the age of 30, which
that's
is like
not cool.
Which will be her final 9 men. No,
I'm
just
kidding. I just can't see her being with someone who's younger ultimately than like 28.
No.
Oh, not at
all. Like, you can date her. Like, she'll probably have a great time with some of the younger guys in the beginning, but as it gets past, like, I just feel like they're not going to be on the same, like you said, level of what they want.
Lee, is your husband older than you? Younger?
He's older.
Okay.
Thank God.
Yeah, same. That's the thing. It's hard for me to...
We needed that.
Yeah, it's hard for me to speak without, like, personal experience in this. I just really... I've always said I would rather date a guy 10 years older than me than 1 month younger, just because men, you know, it's a known fact that men mature...
Slower
and later.
Well, we just saw 23-year-olds run circles around a 28-year-old. It's evidence.
And in general, the kind of guy that even signs up to go on The Bachelor, I'm not judging. A lot of my friends are those people. But, you know, it does suggest, you know, maybe an interest in things that are not necessarily settling down right now and making babies. So,
yes. Which is right. And Claire's been very clear that what
she wants
a family and she wants to get married.
Can I just say, it's so nice to have a lead where you're like, there's no doubt she's completely sincere. She's not doing this to reach 2 million Instagram followers. No. It's because
she's not even posted on Instagram since she got cast. I love it.
Yeah. It's possible she wasn't. And I think usually say something like, oh, crazy journey ahead.
No, because she posted on her story.
Oh, interesting.
But not, she didn't do like a...
But even if you look back, like, she's just... Instagram doesn't seem like that's even...
I think it's something she does, but it's not as...
I love that she never quit her job. Yeah. That says so much. And she's always had enough followers to be able to.
Yeah.
It really says a lot about her.
Yeah, I think
she's a normal girl.
She's a normal woman, and I think
pardon me.
She clearly derives a lot of... You know... I wrote about this, Lee and I wrote about this, but I think what's so great about having a 38-year-old is that you have a woman who has spent 2 decades living her life not built around a marital relationship. Mm-hmm. And so she has had to make herself happy and build out a full social life and find lots of things that are fulfilling in her career, in her personal life, with relationships as well. But, like, I think that is just a lot of meat to dig into then on the season.
Yeah.
And I hope, I don't know, my pick, just only looking at these photos, is Mike T. He's a hot 38-year-old with great hair and a beard from Calgary, Canada.
Yay! I'm actually singing there next, by the way. Oh. I go there in 2.5 weeks.
I'm partial to Canadians. Obviously, you are Canadian. Yep. I lived in Canada. Like,
I was just telling them before we started recording that I personally think Canadian men are less commitment phobic. Like, they're definitely totally okay with commitment. And they're also more sensitive than American men. In my experience.
Yeah.
I was going to say limited experience, but then I realized it wasn't limited.
Mike T. Also, Brett E., 42, from Provo, Utah.
The oldest.
I have the highest hopes for him.
He, as Emma pointed out, just looks older, but the same as all the other men.
Yeah, Brett E. seems good, too, but... I don't know. Mike T. is more... I find more handsome, which is probably why I'm leaning that way.
I love his
denim shirt. Yeah. He's good style.
Yeah.
And we have to bring up Matt James,
919.
28, but he is Tyler Cameron's best friend and roommate.
Who lives, and he also two guys from New York in this crop, which always makes me excited.
Mm-hmm. For the future of the pod.
Although I have not been successful at getting any of the two women from this season. ABC is not...
ABC's just trying like, to let's let them just pretend this season.
But my point is, I always love to see men from and women from New York. It just makes me happy. And Matt James has really gained a following just by being adjacent to Tyler.
Yes.
So,
damn.
You know, I'm sure we'll see him.
Give me his shirt color.
This is
pale green.
Ah.
Very, very handsome.
Good man. Henley.
Yeah.
A moss-colored Henley.
And also he runs this nonprofit with Tyler.
Yeah, ABC Food Tours.
Okay.
So he's... I have a soft spot. 28.
Yeah.
That's, to me, the lowest end of what I would assume. Like, I don't think she'll date younger than that, really.
I mean, I hope she doesn't.
I hope for her sake, because of what she wants, she does not.
Yeah. Anyway, excited.
Yeah, interesting crop.
It's exciting to be excited about an upcoming lead because I feel like I haven't been in a really long time. Because Hannah Brown proved me wrong,
but
I
wasn't
excited.
No, I feel like I totally agree.
I wasn't excited about Peter or Colton.
Nope.
Ari, not many.
I feel like maybe
were...
Rachel was the last one.
Yeah,
maybe
Rachel,
Becca, because it was impossible not to be rooting for her.
I wasn't even excited for her.
Yeah,
I mean, I like her.
Yeah,
I think.
Yeah.
But Rachel, I was like stoked.
Yeah, I think it might have been Rachel.
Yeah, and
before that, Nick, obviously.
Yeah, and I was stoked for Nick too. But now we get Claire, and I am so excited. I feel like this will bring us back. We need a palate cleanser after Peter. And you know what, Charlene, thank you so much.
Thank you for struggling through this with us. I love coming here, you guys. That was fun.
So no feminism fail today. We don't normally do them this late in the game, but we did want to do a little bit of a coronavirus rundown as it has affected The Bachelor because this pandemic is impacting everything.
Everything, especially our beloved franchise. So... apparently, there's no Stagecoach. It's been postponed.
And Coachella have been postboned, which is a real problem
for Bachelor in Paradise. We are going to be lacking some solid storylines without Stagecoach.
Where else will they all hook up with each other and do something really messy?
I don't know. We're going to have to find them a new outlet.
I know. Social distancing is not good for the Bachelor storylines.
And also... at the live finale last night, guests in studio had to sign disclosure forms.
Yeah.
To make sure that they were healthy and
using
Purell.
I mean, one can hope there was a whole lot of Purell there last night. And the final piece of news is that Clara Crawley's season might be filmed fully in the United States because of, you know, worry about travel. So that's kind of wild. I feel a little bad for Claire.
Yeah. But there are some beautiful places in the U.S.
I hope they go to some really weird, interesting, cool places and just find some, like, the most baller resorts in America.
Claire deserves that.
She really does. And that's it for this season of Here to Make Friends. Thanks, of course, to our guest, Charlene Joint, our producers, Nick Offenberg and Sarah Patterson, and to the wonderful, glowing Lee Blickley for joining me all season, really stepping in. And it's been so much fun. I mean, I really can't thank you enough. And
oh,
it's been such
a
joy.
I've loved being here. It's been so much fun. Although the season was a hard one to recap.
Thank God I had you next to me.
I appreciate you guys entrusting me with this task. And of course, we miss Claire very much, but she will be back. Please subscribe to Here to Make Friends wherever you listen to podcasts so you don't miss a moment of our bonus content and Claire's season of The Bachelorette. And give us a 5-star rating and review.
You can give us a follow on Facebook and Instagram at Here to Make Friends Pod.
And you can follow us individually on Instagram and Twitter. I'm at Lee Blickley and at Lee BZ.
And I'm at Emma Lady Rose.
We'll be on quarantine for the foreseeable future, but don't worry, we'll be back in your ears soon enough. And thank you all again for welcoming me with open arms this season. I felt the love and I truly appreciate it.
Hear that? It's the call of the Crave. And when the Crave calls, you know what to do. Try the $5 Bacon Bundle, because the only thing better than a White Castle slider is a White Castle slider topped with crispy hickory smoked bacon. So pick any two of either the Bacon Cheese Slider, 1921 Bacon Cheese Slider, or Chicken Bacon Ranch Slider, and also get a small fry for just $5 with the $5 Bacon Bundle. White Castle. Follow your Crave.
Justin, and so good. Thousands of spring deals at your Nordstrom Rack store. Save big today on new arrivals from Kate Spade New York, Nike, Sam Edelman, Free People, and Madewell, starting at only $30. Great brands and great prices on dresses, denim, sandals, designer bags, and more. So rack your look and get first dibs on spring styles you want now from just $30 at your Nordstrom Rack store. What will you find?